Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There are a lot of things about growing up in church that I'm grateful for. Learning about God and love and grace and unselfish service, having a community that cared about me, the teen room complete with a vending machine, two pool tables, a PlayStation, one on the world's uncomfortable couch. But one of the downsides to growing up in church is that you can lose sight of how cuckoo bananas some of these stories are. I think we hear them so often that we think, yeah, the Ethiopian eunuch story, I know the one. You know, where an angel tells Philip to go to this road in the middle of nowhere, and he does it, only to run into a guy who worked in the Ethiopian palace who also just happened to be on a road in the middle of nowhere, and who just happened to be reading the book of Isaiah out loud so Philip knew what he was reading, in a chariot that Philip is able to catch up with on foot. You know, the story that ends with Philip getting beamed up to another town, which doesn't seem to faze either him or the guy he's with. Yeah, I know that story. What about it? It's like familiarity bleeds the insanity out of the passage for us. Or maybe it's not so much that as that we think acknowledging the craziness is disrespectful in some way or sacrilegious. So we kind of suppress that awareness, and I think that's a real shame, A, because the crazy stuff is the most fun, and B, because usually if it's weird for a reason, and there's something we're supposed to learn from. So friends, let's get weird. This is the first of a bunch of healing and conversion stories in the book of Acts, and all these stories lead up to and conclude with, like, the big daddy conversion story, which is Paul on the Damascus Road. And the cool thing about all these stories is that they, in one way or another, challenge our sensibilities about who belongs and who doesn't. Does a deformed foreigner Gentile belong? Does the most zealous persecutor of Christians belong? And the book of Acts always answers yes. Yes, they belong. You belong. All of you belong. We don't know what exactly brought the Ethiopian eunuch to Jerusalem, other than a desire to worship and to do it in what he thought was the right way. But I guess maybe nobody told him that the temple can be pretty strict, because there's absolutely no way this man ever would have been allowed inside. He has two strikes against him, and as far as the temple is concerned, one strike and you're out. First off, he's a Gentile, and the Gentiles can't get any further in than the outer courts. And second of all, he's a eunuch, which at that time was kind of a catch-all term for any man who didn't function as a man might be expected to. It was applied to people who had birth defects, people who had been in accidents. Sometimes it was even applied to gay men. It was also a common practice at the time for any man who would be in service to a queen to be made a eunuch on purpose. So, you know, if she has a baby, you know, it's the king's. So in this case, it's likely that the Ethiopian man was made a eunuch as a requirement for his job, which his 401k plan better be out of this world. He better have good dental, good vision, at least 3 weeks paid vacation. But really, it doesn't matter how he came to be the Ethiopian unit, because no matter which way it went down, the temple didn't want him. Eunuchs and people with any other kind of physical deformities were not allowed in the temple either. So this man, he's on his way home from Jerusalem, and he's got to be disappointed, right? He just went all that way only to be told he has to stay in the backyard. And yet, he isn't throwing the whole religion out with the bathwater. He's on his way home from what must have been a huge letdown, but he's still reading from the holy book of the religion that told him he wasn't welcome to worship with them. That kind of amazes me, because I don't know, I think I and most people would maybe have a, well, then the hell with them church after being denied the right to speak in his church. I imagine he knows what the Ethiopian eunuch is feeling. I imagine that anyone who doesn't have the money to buy nice clothes to look like they belong in a nice church, I imagine they know what the Ethiopian eunuch is feeling. What the Ethiopian man and Richard Allen and all God's LGBT children and all God's children that don't have much money for nice things, what they all understand is that faith in God is bigger than what a religion or organization or figurehead have to say about faith in God. That God wants them to know God and to receive the grace and love therein, no matter what obstacles anybody else puts in their place. And that love and grace and relationship are worth it. So this Ethiopian man is on his way back home. And he's still hungry for the connection he was denied at the temple. And in that exact same moment, an angel reaches out to Philip and says, hey buddy, get up. I have someone for you to meet. So Philip gets to that wilderness road just in time to see the Ethiopian man rolling along by in his chariot. So all-star track athlete Philip pops out and runs up next to it. Hey, what you reading? I was just wondering. You understand that stuff? Which is a super weird interaction. And the Ethiopian says, of course I don't understand this stuff. No one's ever taught me how to understand this stuff. I wanted to learn. I came all this way to learn, but nobody would teach me. Philip would, though. Because Philip wasn't approaching spreading the good news like scouting for the NFL, where he was only looking for the best potential recruits. No, Philip knew the harvest was plentiful. That there would be people from every possible walk of life, and the only requirement to be in the movement was to want to be in the movement. Philip saw someone hungry to know deep, true things. He didn't see a Gentile or a eunuch or a foreigner. He's a man who knew, even though he couldn't fill in all the gaps yet, that there was more to life than what he'd thus far been given. So Philip teaches the Ethiopian all about Jesus, and at the end of the lesson, the Ethiopian is all in. Because what Philip is teaching him is confirming what he already knew in his heart. That there is a God who loves the Ethiopian man just the way he is, who would not put any roadblocks between him and experiencing that love, who knows what it's like to be in pain, to be rejected, to be brushed aside, and who yet and still remained good, who gave of himself and continues to give to a world that so often hurts and rejects him still. A God of hope and welcome. The Ethiopian man, like those sheep not of this fold that we talked about last week, he knew the good shepherd's voice when he heard it, and on the spot he was looking for a lake or a river or a pond or any darn thing that he could be dunked in or sprinkled with, because he had been waiting to be baptized into this movement his whole life. Do you get it, friends? The Ethiopian man isn't unique. There are so many people waiting to hear the thing that they're afraid to believe is true. And yet the thing they believe underneath all the layers of how other people have judged them or hurt them. And that's that they are precious. They're loved by the God of the universe, not in a general sense, but in all of their particularities. Loved to death and back again, literally. Listen for the angels, you guys. Look for the people God puts in your path so you can love them and you can welcome them and you can show them the truth is so much more beautiful than they're afraid it is. You might not get teleportation powers in exchange like Philip did. But what you will get is a lot more valuable. You will know that somebody knows they are loved beyond measure. And they know that because of you. Will you join me in singing our hymn of response? I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light, found on page 206 of your hymnal.